We begin the current daf Masechet Tzibah, become a daf Samach Zayin. Begin 5 lines down for the top of the oven. But the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, there was a Machlekes Rabbah and Reb Yosef regarding the halacha of Yiyush if it's kaina by a ganav and a gazlan. That is, we know that a shinui is kaina when there's a change in the object that was stolen, then the ganav has acquired it and he only has to pay back money. But the Machlekes was regarding Yiyush. Let's say the owner gives up hope of ever getting it back. Rabbah wasn't sure if it's biblical or rabbinic, but he said either way, Yiyush is kaina, and he only has to give back the monetary value. Whereas Reb Yosef said, no, even rabbinically, he's not going to be kaina. Now, one of the questions asked on Reb Yosef was from Abaye, from a Mishnah Masechtas Kelim. With there was a machlekes between the Tanna Kamma and Reb Shimon regarding is it the ganav or the gazlan, but either way, one of them is that he has acquired it seemingly just with Yiyush, because one of the cases, the Gemara proved from Rabbi Baruch Hanan, that it's discussing a case of an itzvah. An itzvah is made from, it's basically taking the hide of an animal and using it as a leather tray. Now, that doesn't require any shina mice, and yet we see when the ganav steals it, his machshava can make it be susceptible to tumah. So what has he done to make it his that he can make it mekabel tumah? Obviously, it's just with the shina, which just with the yish of the homeowner that makes him kainit, because shina maisa, there is no shina maisa. So Rava said that this question bothered Rav Yosef for 22 years until he became Rosh Yeshiva, and then he answered that it's not a difficulty. Actually, yish itself is not kainit. It's but together with the yish, there's also shina Hashem, because the itzvah, before it was called hide, now it's called a tray. So although there's no change in the active, meaning in the maisa, in the object itself, but the fact that it changes its name, that is considered a shinoi, and that's why the ganav or the gazlan is going to be kainet. Now, that the Gemara asks from Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, but we find, let's say when the ganav steals a crossbeam and he puts it into a building where there is a change of name, we see from the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, that's only because of takanas hashavim that allows him not have to return the object and only give the monetary value. But regarding the halacha of Shina Hashem, we see that he wouldn't acquire it. That seems to contradict this concept of Rav Yosef. I'm not thinking we're going to give 2 answers. Rav Yosef himself answered that, no, Marish actually, crossbeam, maintains its name even when it's put into the building. So there's no Shina Hashem. Rav Zera answered that, no, there is a Shina Hashem. It changes from crossbeam to be called a piece of the roof. But since it's a Shina HaChayz L'Briyase, since it will go back when you take apart the roof, it'll then still have its title of crossbeam on it. So that's not considered a change of name because it still has it, albeit now temporarily not, but it still maintains it and it would go back to it. Whereas regarding the Avarzin, the Itzvah, that's something that once it becomes a tray, it doesn't come back to just a piece of hide, even when you're not using it as a tray. And therefore, there it's a Shina Hashem, and that's why it's kainit, in contrast to the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin. That was the Gemara's conclusion from the previous daf on the top of our armament. On that, the Gemara goes back to ask, so what are you saying? Meaning, going back on Reb Zera's answer, but really it's a fundamental question on Reb Yosef's whole answer. You're telling me, v'shin ha'shem, she'en ha'chayz l'briyasai, but what? If it has a change of name, which will not go back to its original name, even when you stop using it for what you're using it for, that you're saying that it's going to be a shinui? On that, the Gemara asks, miha v'shinu, would that, even that, be considered a shinui? Meaning, Reb Yosef's whole answer that he said, oh, shin ha'shem, that's a shinui. So we asked him, Gittin, but you see, Shina Hashem is not. So he said, no, that's because it's going to be Chayz L'Briyase. But when it's not, then it would be Shina. On that asked the Gemara, is that really so? But Vahari Tziner, but that the Gemara asked him the following halacha. There's halacha regarding a pipe. Dimikara, that in the beginning, before you carve out that block of wood to make a pipe out of it, it's originally called Kitzitzta. It's called a block of wood. V'hashta tzinayra, and now when you make it into a pipe, it changes names. It's called a pipe. Now, so therefore, the following question. B'tanya, we learn the b'raisa. Tzinir shechakuku, regarding a pipe which was carved out. U'lebsayv kavu, and only after it was carved out, only after it was made into a pipe, was it then put into the ground. Now, this is in reference to the halachas of mikvah, where you have to get the water somehow into the mikvah, into the pit, to make a mikvah 40 saw of rainwater. So the Braisa says if they made the pipe first and then they put it into the ground, which then that brings the rainwater or the river water into the mikvah, paisales a mikvah, that would invalidate the halacha of the validity of the mikvah, because now that's going to be called mayim she'uvin, drawn water, because it didn't come straight from the river or from the rain. It came through the medium of a pipe, which is like drawn water, which you use a bucket to bring it. The pipe is like a bucket. It's a kli, hence it's mayim she'uvin, it's drawn water, which is not mayim chayim, it's not the water itself. Now, but says the Braisa, Kavu l'b'sayif chakuku, but if let's say it was first, the block of wood was first put into the ground, and only once it was in the ground did they carve it out, making it into the pipe, oh, that's not considered a kli. That's considered part of the ground itself, and therefore in the place less a mikvah, that's not going to invalidate the mikvah, because you didn't make a kli. A kli is when it's not attached to the ground. In the ground, although you made a crevice, a concave in it, that doesn't make it into a kli. That's just like cutting holes in the ground. That's okay. It's still ground, and therefore that wouldn't invalidate it as vayim sh'uvim. On that, as the Gemara Rabbi Yosef, ve'i amrit shina shem milsehi. Now, if you entertain to say that a change of name is substantive, it changes the status of an object, then even if it was first put into the ground, this block of wood, and then carved out, you have over there a Shinur Hashem, as the Gemara started off. It was first a Ketzitzta, a block of wood, and now it's called a Tin, it's called a pipe. So Nami Lipasal, so even there, it should be invalidated because it's now called a Kli. It should be invalidated because of Mayim Shuvim. Why does the Braisa say that there is going to be Kasher? So the Gemara says, you're right. It will have a Shinur Hashem, and hence it really should be a Kli and make a Pasal. But Shani She'iva, the halacha of drawn water, in other words, this that a mikvah becomes pasul with three lugan of water that's drawn, dimidrabanahi, that's a rabbinic halacha. And since rabbinic, so although yes, there's a Shina Hashem going on over here, but since really it's part of the ground, it's never really a kli, although it will have the shame of kli, that Rabbi Yosef says, I agree, but since rabbinic, that would not invalidate the kashas of the mikvah in such a situation. Now, the Gemara says, Ihachi, but if that's the case, so you're answering that it's kosher because it's only rabbinic, now fill the Reisha Nami. Then even in the Reisha, where it was first carved out and then put into the ground, why isn't it kosher over there too? If it's just rabbinic, so what's the halachic problem? So the Gemara says, no. Hasam ikater is kli ala betalish. There it had the designation of a utensil when it was detached. So that's a full-fledged bona fide kli. That's drawn water. You're going to put it into the ground. It still doesn't remove it from its status of a kli. That is the rabbinic penalty, rabbinic invalidation of Mayim Shuvim. Hacha inter is kli ala betalish. Here it doesn't have the designation of a kli when it's detached. In the ground, really, it is part of the ground. So when you're carving out, really, it's not a kli. But you're right, says Rabbi Yosef. I hold that just the change of the title, even though technically, logistically, it's really ground and not a kli, but it's going to be called a kli, so that should make it into a kli. But that component, since it's rabbinic, the rabbis weren't stringent in that, and that's why it's going to be kosher. But in the ratio where it was made into a kli and then put in the ground, that's a bona fide kli. That would invalidate it, even rabbinically, as halacha mayim shuvim. Nothing more continues asking, as it was on the previous daf, questions on Rabbi Yosef, who held that Yish is not kaina by the Ganam and the Gazlan. He has to give back the object itself, even though the owner was already Miyayish. So Meisavei, they asked from the following Braisa, Haganav, regarding someone who steals in private, Vagazlan, someone that steals straight out, Va'anis is a reference in this context to a Chamsin, who is someone that also forcibly takes away from someone, but he pays him for what he's taking. So says the Braisa, Hekdeshin Hekdesh. If one of these individuals who stole it from someone else is makdish that item, it's considered hektish and it's forbidden to have anah from it. Utrumas and truma. If let's say they take off the trumas from this tevel and give it to the kohen, it's considered truma and it's forbidden for zarim to eat it. Umasras and meiser. And if they take off tithes, it has the halachic designation of tithes and all those halachas that apply to meiser. So says the Gemara, you see, not like Rabbi Yosef, you see that the Ganav or Gazan, whoever it was kaina, just with Yish, just with the fact that the owner was Meayish, and therefore, you see, it's his to be Makdash it, and to give of Truma, and to give of Meister, not like Rabbi Yosef. So I mean, they said, no, Hasim Ikashina Hashem, as Rabbi Yosef had answered in the previous question, there, besides the Yish, there's also a change of title, because the Mikara Tivla, originally the produce was Tevel, untithed produce, Vahashta Truma, now it's called Truma. Hekdesh, regarding Hekdesh, Mikar Chulin Vahashta Hekdesh, before it was called unconsecrated produce, that was what its name was, and now it's called Hekdesh. So it's not just the Yish, Yish itself would not be Kaina, but it's together with Ashinu Hashem. Nothing more continues on these topics from the previous daf regarding two different Kinyonim that we spoke about regarding Aganam and the Gazlan, regarding Yish and regarding Shinui. Meaning Rabbah had started off this discussion by saying, Shinui for sure it's going to be Kaina. We find it in the Torah, we find it in Mishnaic sources, but regarding Yish, he says it's also kaina, not like Rabbi Yosef said it's not kaina, he just wasn't sure if it's biblical or rabbinic. Now the Gemara is going to discuss those two kinyanim. Amar Rav Chizda, Amar Bienesin. He says, Minayin l'shinu shu kaina. Where do we know that a change in the object is an acquisition for the ganav, and then therefore he only has to give back the monetary value? Shinema, like it says in the Pasuk, says veheishav es agzela, that the one who stole something has to return the stolen object. Now, matam elam asher gazel, what does the pasuk then teach when it says of that which he stole? Of course, if returning the gzela, it's that which you stole. So, and that is the halachic teaching that im ke'ein shegazel yachzer. If it's asher gazel, if it's exactly as it was when it was stolen, meaning no change happened to it, then you have to return that object. Vimlav damin ba'alma b'yishloi. But if not, if it was changed, then he only has to give back the monetary value. That's where you see the source of shina being kainah. Now, that halacha the Gemara asks, Hay asher gazel mi baye, but you need those words asher gazel to teach a different halacha. Lema'ute gezel aviv, to exclude the case of when his father stole something. She'ena meisiv chaymish al gezel aviv, that the son, the inheritor, does not have to pay the penalty of a fifth. Whereas the Gemara in the Perek HaGez, later on the Kavdal Mabez explains, even if the father swore falsely, which that's the general halacha, that when you steal something and you swear falsely and then you admit that you have to, besides giving back the principal, you have to add a fifth, the halacha is telling us that no, you only have to give the fifth, you only have to give back Asher Gazal, that which he stole. But if his father stole, then he doesn't have to give back the fifth, which is an extension of the principal. But as the Gemara there explains, yeah, the principal which was stolen, the son has to give back, but the chaimish doesn't have to give back because that's only asher gazel, which he stole, not which his father stole. So how can you say asher gazel is coming to teach us this halacha that it's only if it's kein shegazel, but if there was a shina, then you're kaina? So I think my answer is im kein, if it was only teaching that halacha which we're telling you regarding the chaimish of the father, which the Gemara later on the gazel teaches, nichtav rechmana, then the Torah should have just written veheishiv es gezeloi. He should return that which he stole, which I would have known to exclude the case of when his father stole it. Asher gazel lama li lemichtav. Why does he have to then still say the words of that which he stole? Shemam Natarti is coming to teach us these two halachas. One regarding he doesn't have to give the chaimish on his father's theft, which he swore falsely. And also regarding this that which he himself stole, if it's only the same as it was, then he has to give it back. But if there was a shin, if there was a change, then he only has to give back the monetary value. That's one version of Rav Chisda's halacha. Vekadami, that those who say a different version, the exact opposite. Amr Rav Chisda, Amr Bi'ainasin, minayin l'shinu she'ena kaina. How do I know that a change, a shinui, would actually not be kaina, and he would have to give back the object even though he changed it? Shenemak says in the pasuk, v'heishav es agzeil l'mikal makom, that he has to return the stolen object in any situation, whatever it is. You change it, who cares? You have to give back what was stolen. Now, that the Gemara in this version asks as a question, but v'oksiv asher gazel, but it says that which he stole, which seemingly is redundant to tell us that it has to be exactly as it was when he stole it, but if not, the shina would be kaina. So the Gemara answers, no, ahumi boile, that asher gazel is teaching a different halacha. It's al gezegloi shaloi meisav chaimish, for his own theft that he swears falsely and then admits he has to add on a fifth. Vein meisav chaimish al gezelah, but he doesn't have to add a fifth on the theft of his father. That's what the extra words asher gazel is coming to teach us, but really, shinui is not kaina. That's regarding shinui. Ama'ula minayin liyir sheina kaina. Now he talks about the other variable we spoke about. From where do we know that the owner giving up hope of it, that that's not an acquisition for the ganav of the gazlan to not have to give back the object itself and just have to give back the monetary value? And there's a big discussion in the Rishayim regarding for what is this, like Rabbi Yosef who said that it's not kaina for anything, or is it as the Taisis brings down, maybe specifically as the Pasuk is going to bring down regarding Karbanis? But that's the halacha he's talking about. How do you know the ganav of the gazlan is not going to be acquiring it just with the yiyush of the owner? Shnema, like it says the Pasuk in Malachi, says that Hashem says to the Jewish people, "Ve'avesim gazel, you bring stolen things, esapiseach, lame animals, vesachelim, those which are ill." Saying that, what are you bringing me here? Now, well, one thing we see from the pasuk is, gazel dumi depiseach. We see the pasuk is equating, comparing a stolen animal to a lame animal. What does that teach us? Ma piseach the less leitakan the klal. Just like a lame animal, there's nothing you can do about it. This is a handicap of the animal that's always there. So too, as the Gemara continues on Samach Zayin Yom Beis, Av Gazel the less leitakanta. So too, it's teaching us that a stolen animal has no rectification, which means because leishno lefnei yish veleishno achiyish, because it doesn't make a difference before the owner gives up hope, after he gives up hope. Either way, there's nothing you could do about it. There's no takana. Why? Because yish is not kaina, and that's where you know the halacha that yish is not going to be kaina, and that's why you can't use it as a carbon. Just like you can't use a lame animal, it's saying a gazel, a stolen animal. Mitzvah Babavera, different sources that you can't use a stolen one, it won't help even after he's Miyayish, because that's not going to be kainid as if it's yours, to just have to give him back the monetary value, it's always going to be his. Rav Am Mahacha, he brings a different source. He brings from the Pasuk of Karbanai, where it says that if his Oila is going to, if his Oila Karbanai, if his carbon is an oila, but you see that it's calling his carbon, v'laha gazel, not the stolen one. So Rabbi explains. Amos, what is the pasuk coming to exclude? Ilam lifnei yish, if it's before the owner gave up hope, well, pshita, obvious, lemonly crow, what I need a pasuk for? The guy didn't even give up hope. It's still his animal. Of course it can't be your carbon. You can't, definitely can't be even makdish it because it's not yours. It's still his. Elalav, rather must be tomat, says Rav. Ala'acha yish, must be tomat after he already gave up hope. And that's the chiddush of the pasuk, v'shema minah, yish leikon, yishma minah. That teaches us that, obviously, it's still saying, v'loi ha'gazla, because it's not yours, because if it was yours, it would be karbana, it would be his carbon, the one who's bringing it, even the thief. Obviously, it's because yish is not kaina, that's the source, says Rava, that yish is not kaina. Now, on this interpretation of Rava, the Gemara asks, but v'harava, who the Amar Rava had told us in the previous daf, when he was coming to answer for Rava, which, that was the disagreement, Rav Yisuf and Rava regarding if yish is kaina or not. Rabbi said that Yish is Kaina, just wasn't sure of biblically or rabbinically. So the question was posed from this halach of Karbanim Lai Gazel, you see seemingly Yish Lai Kaina, and Rava resolved it for Rabbi by saying, no, it's not talking about that it was stolen like as a chulin, and then he consecrated it, and therefore you see Yish Lai Kaina. He said it was the Gazel Karban the Chavre, it's talking about where he stole his friend's carbon, which there was two interpretations in Rashi, what the chiddush in that is, but that has no reflection on the halacha of Yish being kind or not. It's because he stole his carbon. You steal his carbon, that's hekdesh. There's nothing you could do about it. That's why it's going to be karbon ibla gazel. But that wouldn't disprove the halacha of, let's say, if it was chulin, and then there was Yish, maybe then it would be kind, and you would be able to bring it as a carbon. So how can Rabbi be the one that's saying that this halach of Karbanim b'la gazel is the source to say Yish Lekani, if he himself had resolved for Rabbi by saying there's no proof in this halach and there's talking about something else regarding stealing his friend's carbon? So the Gemara says, Ibeis Eime, if you want, you could say Hadurbe. He retracted from that interpretation. And Vibayis Eime, and if you want, you could say Chad Minai Rav Papa, that you have to say that one of them, one of these two teachings, wasn't Rabbi, but rather it was Rav Papa. And that's why it wouldn't be difficult, because you're right, those two obviously contradict each other. How you understand the halach of Karban Ibla Gazel is it teaching you Yish Leikani, because it must be Toman after Yish, and therefore you see that it's still not going to be kind of for the person to be considered his Karban, or that no, actually, to the contrary, there's no Raya, because it's not talking about being Makdash something and making your Karban. It's Toman where it was really that person's Karban, and he stole that person's Karban, and that's why you can't bring it. Again, either it's a Chiddush that you can't be kind of, or the first owner, even that wasn't Meyayish yet, it won't be able to be Leratzin even for him. Nothing more continues, goes back to the halacha of our Mishnah, where that was the opening of our parak of Merubah, that there was a greater measurement that has application for the halacha of Kefil than for the halacha of Dal Vehei, which is when a person steals an ox or sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he has to pay not just double, he has to actually pay four or five times the principal. Where the difference is because although Kefil applies to whether it's a living thing or not a living thing, but a midas tashlumah above a chamisha b'chula, but regarding the measurement of paying four or five times is only if he stole an ox or a sheep and slaughtered or sold it, but not anything else. Now that the Gemara asks v'amai, but why is that? Why is halacha of dal v'hei of tvich mechira only applicable to sher and seh? Neiliv sher sher mishabes, as we learned in a different context in the previous daf, that we learn out other halachas from halach of Shabbos, where it says shur and ox by Shabbos, and it says shur in other halachas, and we say malahal chayva oif kayitza behen, just like by Shabbos, although it talks about specifically an ox, as the Gemara there taught, it applies to all wild animals and birds, and not just to shur. Safkan chayva oif kayitza behen. Also, we should learn that over here, where it says the term shur, should learn from gzeir shur from Shabbos. That also, it's not exclusively for shur and seh; it would be for all wild animals and birds. So, how do you know it's only for shur and seh? So, Amar Rabbi, Rabbi says, Amakra. The reason being is because the pasuk says, and this is in Shemayis Perek Hafal of Pasuk Lamed Zayin, it says Shervaser Shnei Pa'am. It says ox sheep two times in that pasuk, which tells us why I say two times. Shervaser in Midachini Loi. It's coming to tell us that it's exclusively for an ox and a sheep, but anything else will not be included in this halacha of paying four or five times what was stolen. And on this answer of Rava, the Gemara asks Amri, they said, Hai Miyater, exactly which Shur and Seh of the Pasig is extra, is superfluous, to tell us the redundancy of only Shur and Seh. As the Gemara explains, Ilem is Shur B'Seh, the Seifa Miyater, if you're going to say it's the terminology of Shur and Seh at the end of the Pasig that's extra. Now, the reason being is because the Nechte Brahmana, the Torah should have written, now, first, we'll say how the Pasig is written. The Pasig says, Ki Yignoif Ish Shur O'Seh, if a person is going to steal an ox or a sheep, Utvacha O'Macharai, and he slaughters it or he sells it, so Chamisha Vakir Sham Tachzah, so he's going to have to pay five of the cattle in place of the axe that he stole. The arba tzayin tachas aseh, and four sheep in place of the lamb that he stole. So that's what the pasuk says. So on that is what the Gemara is entertaining to explain for Ravo. So it says two times shor aseh, once by the stealing and once of the compensation. So which one is extra? If you're going to say the ones at the end of the pasuk are extra, because the nechta rachman of Torah should have written as follows. Ki ignev shor aseh, if a man steals an ox or sheep, utavachai, and the gear says, oy machare, and he slaughters it or he sells it. So it should have said, chamisha bakri shalom tach dov, five cattle should be paid back in place of it, which obviously cattle is a reference to the ox, the arba tzayin tach dov, and four of the flock in place of that one, in which obviously is a reference to the sheep, which is from the flock. So why do you have to say shor and seh? Just say tach dov. Obviously, it's extra to tell you it only applies to shor and seh. Now that the Gemara says, wait a second. Because the Rechman Nahachi had the Torah written it like that, Havamina, so then I would have thought to say, no, I would have learned it other ways. I would have learned that the pasuk is coming to say, where it says tachtav, which is a singular term, that you actually have to pay nine for every animal that you steal. And then you slaughter it. Because it says four flock, four cattle. Five cattle, four flock, that from tachtav, in place of it. Which it, it's singular, meaning for whichever one you steal, you got to pay five plus four, which is nine. So that's why you had to say tachas hashar or tachas hazed to say no, that each one was individual. So how are you saying that shor aseh is extra? Now, says the Gemara, to try to attempt to understand Rava, b'chitam, and if you're going to say hoksiv tachtav, but wait a second, no. It says the word tachtav two times, which that would sound like that one would be correlating to the shor that was stolen, and one would be correlating to the sheep that was stolen. Now, because if both of tachtavs, which as the Gemara's question was going on one of them, then it should have said, hey baker and dalet soin, yishalom tachtav. It should have said the word tachtav only one time. So if so, cha tachtav meyater. So there is one tachtav that is extra, and therefore, why did it say two times tachtav? Obviously to tell us that each one is individual, and then I wouldn't have thought that it would have to be nine, and then you do have shor and seh extra. And that the Gemara says, no, that's not true. Because you could say that the one tachtav that is extra, hahumi boyle l'drasha achrina, that's necessary actually to tell us a different drasha. And therefore the Gemara is still in the question on Rava. I still would have thought that you need to pay nine whether you steal a shor or a seh. And therefore we don't understand what Rava is trying to say. Because the time, like we learned the Braisa, that the extra tachtav would be teaching us a different halacha. Yochel, because the Braisa says as follows. Yochel gonav shor shav mana. You would think if you steal an ox worth a mana, yisham tachtav negidin, that you could compensate him with basically a dying type of an ox, a very weak one, and an ox that's about to die. Tamalayma says the Braisa, that's what the Pasuk teaches, tachtav, in place of it, it has to be taking the place, it has to be very similar to the one that was stolen. You can't give one that's about to die. So that's what I would need the extra tachtav for. So that wouldn't prove that the fact that it says it two times to say that, oh, once for the shor, once for the seh, and therefore I would still think that tachtav, as if it was written one time because the other one is extra to teach a different halacha, so then tachtav in place of it, which means to say you have to give five cattle and four flock, which is nine altogether, for tachtav, for that, in place of that one, in place of either one. So you would think that it would be, that's why you need to have asked the Gemara shor and seh, to say that no, for sure is five times, for says four times. Each one is individually, but not nine altogether. So what's the proof that you have an extra shor and seh? Which shor and seh? The one of the sefer? That's not extra. If I didn't say shor and seh, I would have thought that you have to be nine for all of them, for each one individually, and not five and four accordingly. So Rav Gemara says, you're right, the shor and seh is necessary. Rather, Shreva said the reisha miyuter. We'll say that actually, in the beginning of the pasuk, writing ox and sheep explicitly, that was superfluous. Why? Because in Nechta Brachman, the Torah should have written as follows. Ki yignev ish, when the man steals, utavachai, and the gear says, oy machari, and he slaughters or he sells, chamisha baki yishalom tachas asher, five cattle he should pay in the place of the ox, v'arbitzayin tachas aseh, and four sheep in place of the lamb that was stolen. Now, I would know when it says, meaning it should have left out in the beginning, it should have just said a man steals and he slaughters. It doesn't say what it is. But the end of the pasuk tells us what it is. Why did it have to say in the beginning what he stole? Why say shor aseh? Obviously, to tell us it's only by shor and seh. And that the Gemara asks, wait a second. Ikaz Rachman Ahachi had the Torah written like that, Havamina, I would have thought to say that Adiganab Trey Vitavachlu. I would have thought that Allah applies only when you steal both and you slaughter them. I wouldn't have known that it's because I need to say Asta Gemar Shar Oisa to say it's either or. Had we not said Shaira says you're proposing, and we would have just said the end of the pasuk, you have to pay 5 in the place of the shair and 4 in the place of the tzayin, I would have thought that the halacha of tavach hamacher only applies when you steal both, when you have a shair and a seh. I would have known it's either or. So the Gemara says no. What tavach ikasev? What I mean, the pasuk at the end, the pasuk says in the beginning that he slaughtered it, which is lachad, means for one. Why would you think it would be both? How could you say that? It says in the singular of slaughtering it. So the Gemara asks back, wait a second. But ve'ema, I would have thought to say, Adigonev tarvaihu, until you're right. So regarding slaughtering, I agree that obviously that would be even either or, but I would still think adigonev tarvaihu until you steal both umezaven lahu, and that you sell both. And that the Gemara says no. What I mean, there also where the Gemara says oy mecharig ksev, it says in the singular regarding selling too, or if he sells it, which is lachad, which is for one. So how can you say that you would think that it's only when you have both? You see, it's even either or. So the Gemara still asks, wait a second. Be'ima, but I would say havamina, that I would have thought to say, adigonev trei, until you steal both, but utav echad umezaven chad, and that you slaughter one, and that you sell one. In other words, the Gemara is asking, that's why we need shairaseh in the reisha to say that even though one was stolen, you'll be liable, because don't tell me it's extra. It's not extra. It's not extra to say, oh, it's only b'sher and seh. It's because if I didn't say sher and seh, I would think that you have both a sher and seh. How do you have it? Because you stole both. But you're right. What did you do? You only slaughtered one and sold one, because they're both in the singular. But I would think you need to do that, to have both and slaughter one and sell one. How would I know that the halacha applies that, no, you even just stole one and slaughtered it or sold it, that the halacha would apply, if not, I say, in the reisha, shar yaseh. So the Gemara says, no, you can't say that it has to be that the two that you were stolen, meaning that you could entertain such a thing, that you would be slaughtering one and selling one, so that would have fulfilled both tvachai and mecharai, because oy mechariksim, it says, or he sold it, which sounds like either or, not only on the shar and the seh, but either or of the slaughtering or the selling. Because I is a differentiator, is separating. So how can you say that you would have to steal both and slaughter one and sell one when it's clearly not that you're doing a slaughtering and a selling? It's either slaughtering or selling. So the Gemara says, no, it's still difficult. Because Bakati Avimina, I still would have said that Adaganav Tavayu. I still, if I didn't have the ratio of shar and seh, I would have thought to say that it's not either or. It's until you steal both of them. As we see at the end of the pasuk, it says tachas asher tachas aseh, which sounds like that you have both, you have the ox and the sheep. Utavachad umeshayuchad, but then I would have explained, you're right, the pasuk is saying utvacha oimachari, either or, in the selling or the slaughtering. You're not necessarily doing both. But I would think you stole both, only then does the halacha apply, and then you slaughter one and leave the other one over. Ay, or mezavenchad umeshayuchad, you sell one and you leave the other one over. So therefore, ask the Gemara, maybe that's why I need the first part of the pasuk when it talks about the theft of shor oiseh to tell us it's either or, even on the sheep and the ox, because if not for that, I would have thought that you have to steal both and then either slaughter one or the other and then or sell one and not the other. But how would I know it applies even in regards to the theft that it's either or? So El Rav, the Gemara says, you're right. It can't be that you don't need the Shur and the Seh of the Seifa, and it can't be that you don't need Shur and Seh of the Resha, because or else we would have interpreted in different ways. We would have thought you need to pay 9 times if you didn't have the Shur and Seh of the Seifa. We would have thought that you have to steal both if you didn't have the Shur and the Seh of the Resha. El Rav says, the Gemara, Shur the Seifa, the Shur that is mentioned at the end of the Pasuk, beset the Resha and the word sheep in the beginning of the Pasuk, Miyatra, those are the extra ones. As the Gemara explains, the next of Rahman, the Torah should have written as follows, Ki Yignev Ish, Shur. When a man steals an ox, utavacha or machara, and then he slaughters it or he sells it, chamisha bakri shalom tachtov, that wouldn't be confusing. That would be clearly going only on one that was mentioned in the pasuk. Should pay 5 cattle in the place of it. Va'arba tzoin tachas aseh, and 4 of the flock in place of the sheep. Because what's that? That's not going to be confusing or anything. You don't have to write in the beginning of the pasuk, because obviously you didn't mention it, saying, but if it's sheep, that's what's inferred at the end. Then it would be 4 times. So shayr de seifa, so when it repeats and says the word ox at the end of the pasuk, which it didn't have to say, it could have said tachtav. Vesed de reisha, we mentioned in the beginning of the pasuk that it was stolen either ox or a sheep, which it didn't have to mention, it could have just said at the end what you pay if it's a sheep. Lamali, what do you need it for? So Says the Gemara, Shmami, no, we could infer from there, Shari B'sa'in, Midachin Eloi, that's the source of the halacha of our Mishnah, that we see that it's explicitly only for an ox and a sheep, but it doesn't apply to other animals, to other birds, as it does regarding the halachas of Shabbos, because since it says it two times, which again we showed which is the extra Shur and Seh, tells us only by Shur and Seh in Midachin Eloi. Now, the Gemara continues quoting from a Mishnah that said that, although we spoke about the halach of Kefil, that Ein ha-goinim achagan misham tashlumi Kefil. Although a thief that's caught red-handed through witnesses that he stole something has to pay double of what he stole, but a thief who stole from a thief doesn't have to pay Kefil. And that's because it's not begunav mibesa ish, it has to be only as stolen from the house of the homeowner, not from someone who stole from the homeowner. Now, this halacha, the Gemara qualifies, Amar Rav, he says, Lo yishanu el lefnei yish. This was only said if when the second ganav stole from the first ganav, before the original owner gave up hope. Avala achig yish, but if it's already after the first owner gave up hope, so kana ganav rishon, so the first thief already acquired it through the kinyan of yish, of the first owner giving up hope. So v'ganav shein yimisham tashlumi kefil, ganav rishon, so now it's already his. Albeit he got it through stealing, but it's his. So now it's mibesa ish. So now the second thief who stole from him is fulfilling begunav mibesa ish, and he would have to pay kefil now to the first ganav. That's what Rav says. And that asked the Gemara, Amr Rav Sheshe said, Amina, I say, Kinaim b'shachiv Rav amal hashmaitu. When Rav was dozing off and sleeping, he must have said this halacha. Because the Tana, as we learned in the Braisa, that contradicts what he said. Amr B'kiva says, Nimneima Amr Taira, why does the Torah tell us, Tavachu machar misham tashlum abba b'chamisha? Why is it when someone slaughters or sells something that he stole, he has to pay four or five times what he stole? Says Rav B'kiva, Nimnei shenishtarish b'chet, because it becomes rooted in sin. What does that mean? He made roots, in other words, he became strengthened in the sin. How so? Because when he slaughters it or sells it, he has now acquired the theft. In other words, he's accomplished something with his sin by taking it away from the owner by either slaughtering it, and now it's not around anymore, or by selling it. That's what Rabbi Kiva says. That's why it's such a severe penalty of paying four or five times the amount. On that, asks Rav Sheshes, Emas, when is this that he sold the sheep or the ox that he stole? Ilei melifnei yish, if it's before the homeowner gave up hope, so as we continue, Tabu Samachesim and Aleph, mi'ikin ishtarish, would that be considered taking root, meaning that he accomplished something with the selling? It's not true. He wouldn't accomplish anything in that sale, because regarding this change of domain, which he changes it when he sells it from his domain to the consumer's domain, if the original owner wasn't miyayish yet, there's nobody that is going to hold that the person who purchased it is going to acquire it. So he hasn't been nishtarish, didn't come rooted in it. In other words, as if to take hold of it by accomplishing something, he didn't accomplish something. So why would that be considered taking nishtarish to make the penalty of dal behei? Elo la'achigish, rather it must be talking about that he only sold it after the original owner gave up hope, which is, that's called a hanu maisav, that he accomplished something, because now the consumer could acquire it because there's two elements over here. There's the original owner's yish, and there's the shini rishus, the change of domain, which is considered a shinui that works together with yish to accomplish that change, which is what finally takes it away from the original owner's domain, and he's nishtarish in the chet, and it takes effect that kinyan. Now, on that asked the Gemara, v'isal k'day tich yish, now if you're going to entertain that yish itself is, like Rav says, that kani, that the ganav has acquired it, now, that's even before the shini rishus that he gives it over to, through his sale, to that kaina. So amay mishalm tashlumi abava chamisha, then why is he paying at all the penalty of four or five times? What do you mean? He should have to only give back the monetary value of the object that he stole to the original owners, because shalayhu tevech, shalayhu meicher, when he slaughters it or he sells it to that other person, what's he selling? His own thing, because we just proved that Rabbi Kiva says that the sale of the tvich mechira has to be only when he's accomplishing something. Now, the only way he's accomplishing something, which is to have a true kinyan by the lekeach, is to first have a yish before the shini rishus. Now, but according to Rav, that yish itself is already a kinyan, so he already acquired it, the ganav himself. So when he now sells it, he's selling his own thing. Like Rav said, someone that steals from him is stealing from him, because it's already his. So how is he even chayv in the first place on the tvich mechira if he's selling his own thing? Selling it should only be when he sells someone else's thing that he stole. So Amri, they said, no, could the Amar Rav, as Rava says later on in the sugya, he says a concept that's called Mnei Shoshana Bechet. It's because the person repeated his sin. Says the Gemara, Hachanami Mnei Shoshana Bechet. Here also, it's the same concept. It's this concept of Nishtarish that it took root is not because this concept of that because he accomplished something. You're right. It's for a different reason whatsoever. It's because he repeated his sin. Because not only did he steal from the guy, he also now went ahead and he sold it to someone else. So he repeated his sin. He did a second step in that sin. And therefore, you're right. So answers the Gemara for Rav, it's talking about even before Yish. And therefore, of course, before Yish, then for sure, there's not accomplishing anything when he sells it. So what does Rabbi Kiva mean when he says it's Nishtarish Bechet? It doesn't mean that it took root that he accomplished something. It's because of he became Nishtarish. He, the person, became rooted in sin that he went and he repeated his sin. Now, a second time, besides stealing it, he sold it to someone else. That's the reason why Rabbi Kiva, according to this interpretation of what the Gemara is bringing from Rava, is the reason why when he does Tvicha Mechira, he's going to have to pay four or five times the amount, not because he accomplished. Because accomplished, that would be difficult on Rav. That's only when there's Yish and Shini Rishus. Then you're right. According to that, he wouldn't be actually Chayv in Tvicha Mechira because he already acquired it with the Yish. It's talking about before Yish, and that's why he's Chayv in Tvicha Mechira. So what is Rabbi Kiva saying? That's four or five times the amount because it's so bad. Is because Nishtarish became rooted in sin that he repeated it. Not only did he steal it, that he also went ahead and then slaughtered it or sold it.